Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Curious Alsterman podcast, the podcast designed to equip you with the tools and wisdom you need to thrive as an adult. I am your host, Johnny, aka the Curious Alsterman, and in today's episode, me and my good friend Nathan sit down to discuss how best made plans don't survive first contact with the enemy, how wins come hand in hand with losses, and we just have a general conversation about the state of the world today and how we as ordinary people can make a difference. But without further delay, here is today's episode. No plan survives first contact with the enemy. Nathan, you beautiful man. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Johnny. Thanks for inviting me back.
Yeah, as always, it's always a pleasure, man. I was actually just thinking this through the week, and it's been like a really, really busy week at work. And I sort of thought, oh, I haven't podcasted with Nathan in a while, actually. Or at least it feels like a while. I do miss our conversations. And I sort of thought to myself, you know what, I've got absolutely nothing organized for today because it's been an absolute whirlwind of a week. But I just thought, you know what, it'd be nice to have a conversation with my friend and just to shoot the shit, so to speak.
Oh, that's good, man. That's good. I guess it's kind of... I feel that obviously, like my week is nowhere near got as much going on as yours has, but yeah, I feel that there's, it does feel like things in life are ramping up a bit at the minute.
A little bit high tempo.
Yeah.
To say the least. But then I definitely think I got a bit of, I don't want to go as far as say burnout, but definitely come like Friday, Saturday, I was like, I felt the need to like be productive and that. And then my body was just like, nah, mate, it ain't happening. This is going to be a weekend of doing the square root of fuck all. So,
wow. Yeah.
But like, it is strange how we kind of like don't rest at all properly, do we? I mean, like, it is just go, go, go all the time. And then we're surprised when the body just randomly one day goes, nah, mate, it ain't happening.
Yeah. I mean, that feels like a bit of physician heal thyself after the episode me and you did about the how important rest is and different types of rest.
Yeah, exactly. I was on my Spotify there yesterday combing through stuff, and I put on an episode from, I think, season two, because I occasionally like to listen to the podcast, because I think that if I leave it alone for a while, come back to it with fresh eyes, I can go, right, perhaps this would be a better avenue to go, or in this episode, this is what went well, this is what went wrong, or where I can improve, whatever. But it's interesting, I don't want to say I feel hypocritical, but I think that we chat about a lot of these things, and then ask the audience to do it. And we do go off and maybe, I know this is speaking exclusively for myself, I'll maybe try and do something for a week or whatever, and then go back to my old habits. And, you know, that's just the human process. I think if it's like, for me, unless you like are deliberate and intentional, these things are not going to just happen. You know, the life I want isn't just going to happen. The experiences I want aren't just going to magically manifest themselves. Things that we all desire in life are not just going to land in our lap, as lovely as that would be. And it's all these like micro habits that I still haven't quite nailed down. Like, and there's a really good book called Atomic Habits by James Clear, and I keep meaning to read that book. And you know, it's frustrating, and I know what to do. I know what to do, but I just have no energy at the end of the day to magically make it happen. And then at the start of your day as well, you don't want to, speaking for myself here, perhaps a character flaw, I don't want to be getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to then grind, to immediately start grinding, to then go and do a full day's work of quite mentally taxing work, to then come back and have to grind some more. It's not sustainable in my opinion.
I hear you there.
Yeah. But what do you think? Like, do you ever find that though? Like, you know what you need to do, but you just don't do it for whatever reason. And then we're a bit disappointed that the life we want hasn't magically appeared.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, it's interesting actually you mentioned that, because just the other day, I was when in my personal study time of reading the Bible, one of its major characters, a guy in the New Testament, a guy called Paul, in one of his letters to the churches, one of the lines he puts in is, "Oh, foolish man that I am." He says, "Because the things I don't want to do, I do. And what I want to do, I don't do it." And so it would appear that this is an age-old problem. Like, you know, and he's like held up as like, you know, like one of the head honchos of the Christian faith, if you like. And he's going, "Yeah, I get it wrong."
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a, you know, so I think it's kind of not, I'm not trying to give you a get out. I'm just saying you're not alone. You're in good company of that kind of attitude or those kind of, not attitudes, so that's wrong. Those habits, those bad habits. And I think like, you know, there's like stuff, isn't there? Like if you want to change a habit or whatever, you have to do it. Is it between 30 to 40 days?
Yeah.
Because that's how long it takes your brain to develop the new connections for that new habit.
Yeah.
And to disconnect the old connections. But yeah, I think there's, you know, like, I don't know. It's kind of like, I suppose it's weighing it up, isn't it? Is it like you were saying, like getting up at 4 o'clock to do whatever, then go to work and then come back and then doing, it's kind of like, is the outcome going to be worth what you're putting in or whatever your perceived end game is?
Yeah.
Is it worth it? Or is there like, cause you know, there is the whole thing of like, you know, like working smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
So like I was given a book to read by one of the leaders of my church. And I was given like a month to read it in and then come back and we'd have a discussion about it. And I knew that if I did it, I just wouldn't read it. I just knew I wouldn't read it. So I went and had a look and found it as an audio book and downloaded it to my phone. And actually what happened was in that month, I listened to it twice each week.
Oh.
So I listened to it rather than reading it because I could do other things whilst I was listening to it. Most often going out for a walk, just going walking and listening to this book. And what it meant was that I went through it more than if I'd just sat down and read it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so like in terms of that kind of thing, it was kind of like what, you know, I was trying to be smarter rather than working harder to do it. And there were a few bits where I was kind of like, you know, because there is a weird thing about audiobooks where something is missing. And so I had to then go and figure out where it was in the actual book and then sit down and read, actually just read the paragraph for myself, properly read it. Mm-hmm. And then go, all right, okay, yeah, I'm on with that. I know what that means. Brilliant. And then move on. But I've done that now with a few things where it's been like, you know, rather than sort of grinding my way through something like you were saying, actually like just adding it to something else I'm already doing. So if I can listen to a book whilst I'm doing the washing up or whatever, then I'm kind of, you know, like achieving two things at once.
Yeah. 100%. It's interesting, isn't it? Because I feel like that after you adopt that kind of thinking that you cannot help but like see results in some capacity. It doesn't have to be huge life-changing results, but I think as I have grown in my 20s, for me personally, I find that rather than chasing the huge victories, for me, it's the small, easy wins every single day, which then build up to a good week, and then a good week, repeat that, builds up to a good month, and then a good year. And that's why I think these past 2 years have been probably the most I've grown in my entire life, in that, you know, 2 years ago, we were all stuck inside, you know, with an unknown pandemic. We didn't know how bad it was. When was it going to end? And a lot of people, I think, saw that opportunity to grow, to break the mold. And for me, definitely surrounding myself with good people and that ambition to grow has now resulted in A, this podcast, B, you know, the stand-up comedy starting.
Amazing.
And yeah, exactly. You know, excuse me. If you'd have said to me 2 years ago that this time two years will pretty much be over this.
Yeah.
You'll also have a podcast. You'll be starting out as a stand-up comedian, and you know, life will be a lot better than what it is now. And I was like, it's in a weird way, I kind of sometimes go to myself, what is my 32-year-old self going to say to me? What's my 40-year-old going to say to me? What's my 60-year-old self going to say to me if I was, you know, this age? It's like, the only thing I can think of is it's only going to get better with, you know, some unique challenges along the way. Sure. But it's building up those micro habits, those little wins every day. Because I think that's the problem, though. We chase after these Mount Everest achievements, and unless we're achieving that and posting it on Instagram, we're a failure. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So
the social media life is horrendous.
Oh, yeah. It's I don't know if I'd describe it as a necessary evil, but I mean, it's allowed us to connect. It's allowed me to connect with people I would never have chatted with or had the ability to communicate with, which is great. But I think, broadly speaking, that we as a society, and I know speaking for myself, have had what my good friend Rob would call a paradigm shift. So he's, remember on the 50th episode, I was talking about trying to get an episode where we talk about how surreal life is and those those big moments in life. Well, future guest Rob is going to be coming on to discuss paradigm shifts, which is what that is. It's a whole change of your attitude and mind. And I think we as a collective society have gone through that with COVID, with everything that's going on in the world right now. You know, the world is changing. At the moment, I think that despite everything that's going on, the world's getting better. I think this is everything that's going on with like Ukraine and that at the minute. Yeah. I think that's a huge speed bump in the progress towards, you know, what our species can do. But paradigm shifts, I think, definitely are coming into play now. And the whole world's changing. Our attitudes are changing. But the one thing that has given me hope amongst all of it is seeing the like common kindness and common humanity amongst everyone. So like one of the things I'm seeing is, you know, people opening up their homes to, you know, Ukrainian refugees. I've seen that at train stations in Poland, you know, Polish mothers were leaving behind their strollers so that Ukrainian mothers who've been carrying their kids all the way from Ukraine and now arriving in Poland, they just got a free stroller and they were packed with nappies and milk and all that kind of thing. And you're like, yeah, despite what the news shows and what social media portrays, like there's so much like goodness out there. And like, it definitely gives me hope, you know, that despite everything that's going on, you know, there's definitely more good than bad. It doesn't matter what nationality you are, your religion, all that kind of thing. It seems to be that there's just this common goodness that nobody wants to see somebody else suffer. And it's kind of like, it's given me hope. It's a paradigm shift, isn't it? I think we've gone from everybody hating each other on a low-key level to recognizing that, while there's certain particular assholes, Putin, who are ruining the show for everybody else, there's just this common goodness amongst people. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's... I mean, that is one of the things, isn't it, where, you know, you can't put any of the major channels on here in the UK on TV without having, you know, been bombarded with like the constant updates with the conflict in the Ukraine. And that's really, you know, that is heartbreaking seeing all that going on. And I think, but then also seeing that humanity response and seeing these countries who are, like Romania, for example, like probably one of the poorest countries in Europe. And they're just like digging deep for the Ukrainians and welcoming them in and, you know, loving them and showing them kindness. And sure, you know, that can't bring back lost family members or lost possessions or things like that. But, you know, like it can certainly start that healing process and help remind those Ukrainian citizens that they are still human.
Yeah.
And they are still, you know, important because of that, or significant because of that. But I think it's kind of, you know, like, I know it's one of those, it's like one of those cliche moments, isn't it? It's like, you know, when, you know, when things go wrong, that's when good or good people step up and everything. But you just kind of wish, like, you know, why can't we be like that without the big bully in the playground going around and punishing people?
Yeah.
You know, why can't we be like that when that isn't happening? And I mean a general we, I'm not like picking on anyone or whatever, you know. And there is a kind of a sense of that. But then also, like, you know, you've also got then, like, you know, people who you know, who are responding horrendously, like that member of the House of Commons who stood up and said, sure, we should bring in Ukrainian refugees, as long as they sign papers to say they'll come and pick fruit and veg and then go back home when they've finished.
Yeah, that's a bit, that's a bit like, boring.
You're like, you what?
Yeah.
say that last bit again, you crazy animal. you know, and so, you know, like, it does bring different things to the fore, but for the main part, you know, when you've got, like, there was a wonderful thing on one of the shows, so like one of the like current event shows, news shows on here, and they were talking to a guy, and this guy he's a councillor in one of the London borough councils, one of the London councils, and there was him and his mate, and they basically they'd hired a van, and people in their council just help fill it, and then they were driving it, and they were on like on a video call with this program, just sort of saying, and they were just passing through Germany on their way to Ukraine.
Bloody hell,
you know, and they were taking this stuff, and like, you know, and there's people who've driven over there from, you know, from all over Europe, but there's these two guys who are I only know them so much because they're from round here, Yorkshire way, and so they've been reported on specifically by our local news. And they went over there to drop off stuff, but then ended up just staying, and they're helping drive people back to the border. So they were only supposed to be going as far as Poland.
Yeah.
But then they've gone into Ukraine and are picking people up and driving them back to Poland.
Yeah.
You know, and because they just got there and went, well, we can't go back, but we've got we can't go back because what we're seeing going on around us, but what can we do to be helpful? Well, we've got a vehicle, so let's drive in and bring people to the border. You know, and they're just normal people. They're not, you know, they're not like former SAS members or anything like that. They're just two blokes from Yorkshire somewhere, you know, who rolled up with a van. And so you've got, like, you know, you'll have all these like little moments of heroism, really, you know, where people are doing just doing good, really. And you know, and I think that needs to be in a right way. And I don't know what the wrong way would look like, but in a right way, that kind of needs to be celebrated, doesn't it? That kind of unifying of humanity, and how we will be, how we will look out and look after each other in a right way. So yeah, I think it's good. But I think what you said about a paradigm shift, I think that's another interesting thing. But I feel like there's no one clear-cut, like, paradigm shift, if you know what I mean. So, like,
yes,
what I well mean, said. Okay, so there is, like, there are, like, these universal events, so, like, the COVID pandemic or say, like, World War One or World War Two or whatever, you know, those kind of big events that change things. But then, you know, there'll be other smaller shifts that happen in different places and also at different times. You know, and so, you know, there may be that some of your listeners, who are there hearing this and they're thinking, I've not changed anything. I'm still the same. Well, you know, you may have changed more than you realize because you don't always see it in yourself, do you? Uh-huh. But also just that awareness of the fact that, like, don't see it as a negative. Just put the word "yet" on the end of it. You know, I haven't changed
powerful.
Yet.
Like that.
do you know what I mean? So it's kind of, you know, because that changes things then. Because it's rather than being negative or like, oh, I'm miserable because everyone else has changed and I'm still the same. Well, just say I haven't changed yet.
Yeah. Or I've not achieved what my goals were yet, or I've not done this yet. Yeah. Because it's like, it's always the way, isn't it? They always say, like, you know, no plan survives first contact with the enemy, you know? Mm. And I think that's the same with our plans in life. Like, I have a very clear vision for what I want from this life. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I'm going to get, there's going to be pushback from that, from, you know, obviously circumstances, society, you know, even friends and family. And it's kind of like, yeah, you're good. I think the people have these grand, grand ideas, and then they meet the first little bit of resistance, and they just, it falters. But I think this goes back to what I was saying near the start of the podcast, in that if you get the little victories out of the way, the small, consistent victories, eventually you will change. And with that change comes a paradigm shift. And then before you know it, you're changing the world, or, I don't even got to make it that big. You're changing your household for the better. You're changing your community for the better. You're changing your country for the better in that regard. Yeah. So I think, breaking down those huge goals into little smaller victories. And then with the, as you mentioned before, the universal kindness that, you know, perseveres throughout our communities. It's like as we've said before, finding your tribe, and in this case, to spur you on, you know. And with our previous episode we did as well on, was it series one or two? I can't remember, but on the finding a coach and a mentor and the difference between them. So 100%, it's like this podcast hasn't got this far. I didn't go from making one episode and now I'm here five seasons later. It's been small, consistent victories with you by my side and encouraging me and the other guests and things. And the same with your own podcast, and I'm sure things in your own life as well that have been small, consistent victories, and they're now led you to where you are now.
Yeah. And it's I don't know if you've experienced this, but sometimes I find, like, almost immediately after you sort of get a win or a victory, like life just comes and just like slaps you straight in the testicles with a quick, easy loss. So, you know, like, just to sort of like where I'm at with my podcast, I was hoping by now for season two to be out, but it's not. It's still very much like not out at all. But I had this great win where I had a great conversation with someone who was a complete stranger. And we had a lovely chat, and then this person has made a jingle for my podcast. That doesn't sound like a lot, but if you've ever listened to the No Wet Fish podcast, you know that currently season one, the intro music is atrocious. and I've been desperately trying to find something new and vibrant and something that as soon as you press play, you know where you're at. Like, you know, that's where you're at and you feel happy. And it's kind of like, I kind of want the intro jingle to be like a, you know, you've just put on a nice jumper that you just feel comfortable in, that kind of immediately you know where you're at. So I finally got this thing and I was like, yes, this is great. I can plow on. And then, like I said to you just before we hit record, I turned on my laptop one day last week with this intention of getting things sorted out. And Windows 11 decided it was time to install itself on my laptop. And all of my recordings have disappeared. Now they're there. I've been able to find them and I've been able to do some stuff with them, but it was just kind of like, I just had this great victory. I was feeling yes. And then straight away, bam, slap, straight in the balls, you know, like, come off it, man, you know? And so it's kind of like, well, like going back to what you said about these small victories and like no plan survives first contact with the enemy. Like what do I do off that? Do I go, right, that's it, sack it. Let's just not bother. I had a nice run. I've done 20 episodes. I've outlived most podcasts that only survived the first six or seven episodes. Or do I figure out what the problem is and resolve it? You know, because if you expect that you're never going to have any kind of setback, I think you're just delusional, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, so.
When I was, I recently got a trapped nerve in my back. Thankfully that's fixed now. But during that healing process, I was going through the sports massage nearly every day or every other day just to try and alleviate the pain. And the sports therapist who I go to the current. He's going to be a future guest as well. And he discussed the concept of play, that naturally we as human beings, you know, when we're kids and that, play is natural, creativity is natural. So in that regard, somewhere along the way, as adults, we lose that concept. And we make everything so serious and everything so has to be perfect. If it doesn't go exactly to plan, then that's it. Abandon all hope and, you know, the cause to whatever you're trying to achieve. Whereas he said, something he said to me, which completely challenged my perspective, was, you know, reframe it as play. Okay, so what about this avenue? Okay, well, that didn't quite go to plan. Oh, interesting. Right, well, let's play some more and go this direction. And before you know it, you have achieved what you wanted to achieve, but without the burnout, without the irritation. It's just like approaching everything with a childlike curiosity and playful manner, so that when things do go wrong, it's not the end of the world. It's, oh, that's interesting. Okay, moving on. And that was such an interesting one, because if you apply that to everything from a business meeting to dating to, I don't know, pick whatever, you know, in the business meeting, if you approach it with a playful attitude of, okay, here's the plan, let's explore, let's create, let's be creative and, you know, think on our feet, and things will go right, things will go wrong. But when they do go right, celebrate the mini victory. And when it goes wrong, say, oh, interesting. Well, that was all part of the game, wasn't it? So now we know that this isn't conducive to the game. So let's reframe it. And it's same with the other example I use, like dating and stuff. If you go on a great date, happy days. If you go on a bad date, oh, okay. Well, it was fun. It was adventurous. And now I know that that doesn't work, or I'm not keen on that particular type of person. And again, it's all play. It's all the game of life, so to speak. And it was such an interesting way to put it. So I think going back to what you said about, you know, you get the mini victory and then life slaps you in the testicles. It's like, yeah, well, this is true. But then if we reframe it as play, we kind of go, oh, okay, well, I was playing the game and, you know, I got dealt a bad hand or a curveball, but we strive forward. I don't know why I'm thinking of it, but I'm thinking of football at the minute. And it's kind of like, yeah, if you make a bad pass, they just don't call off the game, do they? Or if you score an own goal, they don't call off the game. They just went, well, that didn't go to plan, but let's play on until the final whistle. And I like, you know, that to me is really what it's all about. But what do you think?
No, I think you've grasped it there. I think what I was trying to bring to is that it's kind of like, is my experience is almost immediately after some kind of victory, there is not always, I need to say, stress that, there's usually some kind of setback that's frustrating. And actually, like, framing it like you said in the idea of making it not childish, but playful.
Yeah.
Actually helps you to then process that better. I think actually what you just shared there was really useful.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's kind of, I don't know, it put me in mind of, I don't know if you ever played this game when you were a kid, but we used to play Donkey.
Yes.
Where you throw the ball to each other, and if you drop it, you get a letter of the word donkey, till eventually you've spelt it and you're the donkey, you've lost. So I suppose, like, you know, like the getting the jingle sorted was me catching the ball, and then the next one was me getting the D donkey. And it's like, well, you know, like you're saying, absolutely right. What do I do? Do I just, like, you know, throw my toys out the pram and sulk? Or do I move on to the next part of the game? And I suppose actually what you're saying is absolutely correct. Yeah, I agree with that. I get that.
Well, it's interesting as well, because I think I'm not going to jump ahead too far here, but we are going to do the Hero's Journey as a series, which I think is totals either 6 or 7 episodes. And I'm really looking forward to it, but I want to be a little bit more well-read on it before I open my gob on it. But with that, I think there is a part in the hero's journey. It's that, and it could be, the hero's journey is interesting because it can be applied to your whole life, or it can be applied to your day, that we're going through this constant cycle. And it's like the hero normally gets some sort of small victory, and then it's immediately followed by a crushing defeat. And it's that point where they either has to go back and give up on the journey or just push through it. And then you obviously come out the hero of the other end. It's the same of every action film, story, saga. It's there for, you know, all time and eternity. For people have been writing about it and, you know, lecturing over it and learning from it. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. I've noticed that as well. I've noticed that victories and defeats seem to go hand in hand. Like there's always, unless I don't know, you're like, you're Elon Musk and you're just like constantly like banging out world changing inventions, but I'm sure he's got problems along the way. But
I mean, you mentioned him. How many times have you read or heard that like his businesses are going bust?
Yeah.
Like the one for the Tesla, how many times that like Tesla almost just like run out of money.
Yeah.
And things like that. So it's, you know, I think he's gone through, and some of that, you know, you could say is because he's a little bit gung-ho and reckless. But also like he's very, he's committed to what he believes in as well, isn't he? And so he is prepared to sort of like, you know, put everything on black and then spin the dial kind of thing.
Yeah.
Cause he believes that's the right, you know, and so it's a, you know, yeah. I mean, none of those guys who are billionaires were, you know, they've all gone through patches of not being billionaires.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know. Exactly. I think most of them made their wealth through small victories, eh?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. Yeah.
I'm completely off track and not serious at all, but I was just listening to your conversation and went, oh, yeah. Nathan's beard, and it's looking glorious as ever. Oh, but I forgot to say, go on.
I was just saying, I desperately need a trip to the barbers. It needs a trim.
I was in work there, and beards are now becoming the thing. So one of the guys was like, "Oh, when are you growing yours?" I was like, "It's not really much of a beard. When it doesn't matter, grow it." So I think it's now like, I think it's like a departmental. It's not official, but you're gonna do it. It's like, all right. Can I have like a full year to try and get a little bit of stubble, kind of?
So what is it? It's like enforced team beard growth.
Oh, yeah. I think if there's I'm going to reframe it playfully and go for the shit beard competition with the aim of winning it. Yeah, that's the plan anyway. But
that's funny.
Oh, yeah. No, it's you've got to have like some fun in work. It can't all be bloody serious. Like, but... Same with the rugby yesterday. On the subject of funny things, it was like,
Why would you bring that up? We were having such a lovely conversation.
It was such a lovely. Yeah, England beat Ireland a fair amount of times, anyway. But it was definitely the best game of the Six Nations, wasn't it?
Oh, it was so intense.
It was, especially that last sort of 20 minutes. I thought as well, but it was what I love about rugby is the fact that I was sat as the only Irishman in an English pub screaming my lungs out every time we scored. And everybody else was like, ugh. Well, but there was nobody threatened to kick my head in. Everybody shook hands at the end of the game. And then we were all laughing and joking with each other. That's what I absolutely love about rugby. The fact that, and then even if you play rugby, you beat the shit out of each other for 80 minutes and then you go drinking. You know, afterwards,
yes,
absolutely fantastic. Yeah. It's just no sport like it, is there?
No, that's true. That is true. No, it's. I mean, it was it was really too much. That game was just those last 10 minutes. Like, just blow the whistle, make it end.
End this night. Well, this Irishman will be cheering for you, and hope you beat France next week. Anyway.
Yeah. No, that we Le Crunch is always a big. Always a big game. So.
Oh, yeah. And we've got me and you have got to get down to Portsmouth and see Mikey and the guys and all them and meet up for our usual shit joke. Irishman, Englishman, Welsh and Scot all walk into a bar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I do miss that pub now, I must admit. Some good memories in there.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's a good place. It's a good place. Yeah, I think a few heroes' journeys have started and ended in that place.
Yeah, fair one. I'll give you that one. But I think we may have to call it there because I think we're both a bit strapped for time today. But I want to say thanks a million for coming on at such short notice as always. And you know what? I don't even care if this episode's a hit or not. I just wanted to have a chat with a friend. Shoot the shit.
I think there's lots for, you know, your regular listeners can pick over and hopefully be encouraged that they can, you know, we are in a time of change and shift, and also be encouraged that there's, you know, that there's good that insiders and that we are capable of achieving and doing as well.
100%. Yeah, you're just right. But Nathan, once again, brother, thank you very much. And I'll hopefully see you again on the podcast soon.
Definitely. Hopefully it's not too soon.
Love you, brother. All the best.
Love you, man. God bless. Bye.
There you go, folks. That's the end of another great episode. I hope you got a lot of value from it.
Certainly was a great episode. And don't forget your actionable steps.
Absolutely, Nathan. Thank you once again for joining us. I hope you got a lot of value out of the content provided. If you did, then please do consider subscribing to the Curious Ulsterman podcast on your preferred streaming service and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. That really helps the podcast grow. Thank you very much. If you would like to follow the Curious Ulsterman on the various social media channels to view upcoming content, the Curious Ulsterman is on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and Twitch, all at the Curious Ulsterman. If you know someone who would benefit from this content, then please do share it with your friends and family on the various social media channels. You could also check out our website at www.thecuriousulsterman.com, where you can view our full catalogue of episodes across all the seasons. If you would like to get in touch with The Curious Ulsterman, then please do get in contact on the various social media channels mentioned, or there is a voice note option on our website. As always, folks, I'm open to suggestions to make this podcast a better experience for you, the listener. If you tuned in today for the first time, thank you very much, and I hope you got value from the content I provide. If you're one of our seasoned listeners, thank you so much for the continuous support. I am eternally grateful. I hope you'll join us for next week's episode, folks. But until next time, I wish you all the best. Bye for now.